Now, the title of this message this morning is The Cat's Pajamas. I thought we'd go easy today on cat owners, and we just give a shout out to cats because they are the underdogs, because dogs are the best and they do win all the time. So, cat's pajamas. But can anyone remember what the title of last week's message was?
Lend me your mouth.
Yeah. Jenny's pointing and saying, lend me your mouth, wasn't it? Lend me your mouth. So how have you been doing? Over the last week, how have you been doing when it comes to not lending your mouth to the accuser? So, Jackie? Yeah? So it was about not grumbling, wasn't it? Not grumbling or accusing or judging other people and doing the enemy's work for him and lending your mouth to him. And then if you're able to as well, to stop lending your mouth to the enemy, but then actually allowing the advocate, our Lord Jesus, who's the helper, the comforter, the standby, the one who helps and encourages, perhaps going the extra mile and lending our mouths to him instead. Now, last week, we learnt about making a simple adjustment about not grumbling, not judging, and just hearing Jesus' words in that, and putting them into practice. Like Katie was saying and Becky was echoing this morning, that it's about hearing God saying to us, speaking to us, and putting it into practice. That's exactly what Jesus said. The one is wise who hears my words and does them or puts them into practice. So hopefully you're experiencing some blessing from putting those words last week into practice. And we learned there was two supernatural benefits from being obedient and just doing that, listening to Jesus and doing what he says. And the two supernatural benefits for being obedient are more of God and less of the enemy. That's what obedience creates in your life, more of God and less of the enemy. Obedience invites the presence of God, as Jesus said in John 14. And also in James 4:7, it causes the enemy to flee. So your obedience creates more of God in your life and less of the enemy. That's just reality. That's a fact. That's truth. Now turn to Exodus 23. I found this nugget in Exodus the other day and I thought you might like to hear it. This is God speaking to the Israelites about sending his angel to be with them and guide them. Exodus chapter 23, verse 22. This is another encouragement and a behind-the-scenes reason why obedience is so fruitful in your life and why disobedience is unfruitful. It's the opposite. Okay, Exodus 23, 22. God speaking to the Israelites about sending his angel with them and guiding them. If you listen carefully to what he says, talking about the angel, and do all that I say, I will be an enemy to your enemies and oppose those who oppose you. If you listen to what the angel is telling you to do and do what I say, I'm going to be an enemy to your enemies and an enemy to those who oppose you. Now, obedience to God not only enables Jesus to reveal himself to Christians, which he promised in John 14, but obedience also allows God to drive away your enemies. Okay, each step of obedience, that means hearing God and doing what he says, it is a beautiful step and it brings Jesus joy and it brings us more freedom. So what do I feel the Lord would have us hear him speaking to you today and put it into practice this week? Well, this week we are going to talk about boasting. Boasting. Last week it was about judging and grumbling, and this week it's about boasting. Now, I didn't know, but boasting is a thing in the Bible. A few years ago, God taught me about this, and I'm going to share you what he taught me and how he taught me. But turn to Jeremiah chapter 9. This is what God thinks and says about boasting. Jeremiah 9, verse 23. It's simple. It's easy to understand. It doesn't mean it's simple to do. A lot of what God says is simple to understand, but it takes a bit of practice to put it into effect. But it will have a powerful effect for good in your life when you take God at his word and you put it into practice. So Jeremiah 9, verse 23. This is what the Lord says. Let not the wise boast in their wisdom, or the strong boast of their strength, or the rich boast of their riches. But let the one who boasts boast about this, that they may have the understanding to know me, that I am the Lord who exercises kindness, justice, and righteousness on earth. For in these things I delight, declares the Lord. So let not the wise boast in their wisdom, or the strong boast in their strength, or the rich boast in their riches, but let the one who boasts boast about God. So this could be the shortest sermon I've ever given. Yeah? Listen to Jeremiah. God is speaking to you. Stop boasting. Here endeth the lesson. Or I could go on a bit longer. So let's turn to James. Let's turn to James. But that is the lesson today. Do not boast apart from God. Okay, let's turn to James chapter 3. Oh, look at that. I think David's looking up the Bible verse. Or you might be making something. Not sure, David. James. James chapter 3, verse 1. Not many of you should become teachers, my fellow believers, because you know that we who teach will be judged more strictly. Now, I smile and nod knowingly at this verse each time I read it, because I have found that to be true in my life. Strangely, I appreciate being judged more harshly because I am one of God's teachers. Because of the fruit it produces afterwards. I have recognised that I get judged a bit more harshly sometimes, but actually I smile about it later on, not when it's happening. It's very painful when it's happening, but afterwards I smile because it has produced fruit in my life. It might not be enjoyable at the time, and sometimes it's been costly and painful, but the results can be life-changing. And we know, don't we, in Hebrews 12, that it says God disciplines those he loves. And Jesus said in John 15 that the Father prunes us to make us more fruitful. And it was quite ironic that when we did the big read in November last year, remember doing the big read where we read aloud the whole of the New Testament in a weekend? And I was scheduled to read James. But Ed had gone into James. And so when I actually came up for my turn, the very first verse that I read was this one, James 3, verse 1. Not many of you should become teachers, my fellow believers, because you know that we who teach will be judged more strictly. And in a moment, I'll share some of the stricter judgments that I've experienced in order to prune me as a teacher so I could learn, so I could teach you. And so some of the things I'm going to share, I've learned from experience, and now it's time for me to pass on to you. My pain is your gain. Hopefully, but it's also been my gain as well. So the things I hope to teach, God has worked in me over the years, and I've seen the fruit of it, and now it's time to pass it on. And the subject today is about boasting. Now, the dictionary says that to boast, or boasting, if you look up when on your computer, it says to express excessive pride and self-satisfaction about one's achievements, possessions, or abilities. Boasting is to express excessive pride or self-satisfaction about one's achievements, possessions, or abilities. Now, excessive pride. Should a Christian harbour any pride at all? Is it okay to have a bit of pride, let alone excessive pride? Well, you don't have to turn there, but in James 4:6, you probably know what it says. God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. So any pride blocks the grace of God. It turns off that tap of grace pouring out to you from God. No pride is acceptable before God. He resists the proud. So actually, according to God's word, we should change the dictionary definition for you as a Christian of boasting from expressing excessive pride to actually boasting is to express any pride and self-satisfaction about one's achievements, possessions, or ability. That's what boasting is. Expressing any pride or self-satisfaction about one's achievements, possessions, or abilities. Have you ever sat in your armchair thinking to yourself, I am the cat's pyjamas right now? You ever done that? I feel like the cat's pyjamas right now, Jackie? How about you sit to yourself, I feel like the cat that got the cream? No? How prideful are these cats that we keep naming these slogans after them? Have you ever felt like the bee's knees? Yes, you felt like the bee's knees. Okay. Should we leave dogs out of this? No? Well, the only one I know is have you ever felt like the dog's wotsits? So we won't go there. But if you have felt like the bee's knees, and it's been warranted, you might still be on dodgy territory and in danger of boasting. It's not that God does not want us to enjoy satisfaction. On the contrary, he wants you to be satisfied. But rather, we need to be careful that we acknowledge where every good and perfect gift actually comes from. And it's not from ourselves. Where do they come from? If you do something good, if you think something good, if you act something good, if you receive something good, where is it from? Well, James 1:7 says, every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of heavenly lights. You as a Christian, as a child of God, realize that every good and perfect gift comes from God. It doesn't come from you. You might have thought it, you might have done it, but actually the inspiration, the ability to do it, where does it come from? It comes from God. Self-satisfaction says, I did this, I got this, I did well because of me. But God says in Jeremiah, as we've read, this is what the Lord says, let not the wise boast in their wisdom, or the strong boast in their strength, or the rich boast in their riches, but let the one who boasts boast about this, that they have an understanding to know me. Okay? So let's carry on in James in a few more verses. Verse 2 of James 3. We all stumble in many ways. Anyone who is never at fault in what they say is perfect and able to keep their whole body in check. Isn't that interesting? Our words can have a powerfully positive effect on our whole lives. Or, as James is about to say, they can have a negative effect on our whole lives as well. Our words have more impact and influence than you realise. We learnt last week what a wonderful effect it can be on our lives, and more importantly on our relationship with God, if we can stop our mouths from grumbling, accusing and judging others. Now we are going to hear today how we should do the same with boasting. All right? Verse 3. When we put bits into the mouths of horses to make them obey us, we can turn the whole animal. Or take ships as an example. Although they are so large and driven by strong winds, they are steered by a very small rudder wherever the pilot wants to go. Likewise, the tongue is a small part of the body, but it makes great boasts. Me, 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 me. Consider what a great forest fire is set on. Sorry, what a great forest is set on fire by a small spark. The tongue is also a fire, a world of evil among the parts of the body. It corrupts the whole body, setting hot the whole course of one's life on fire, and itself set on fire by hell. Crikey, James isn't holding back here. Having a tongue set on fire by hell sounds like harking back to last week's message, where the accuser wants you to use your mouth to do his hellish work on earth. And now we realise boasting is included too, not just grumbling, not just judging or accusing, but also boasting is in the mix too. Verse 7. All kinds of animals, birds, reptiles, sea creatures are being tamed and have been tamed by mankind, but no human being can tame the tongue. It's a restless evil full of deadly poison. Has anyone ever been poisoned by someone else's words? Or have you been poisoned by your own words, perhaps? Verse 9. With the tongue we praise our Lord and Father, and with it we curse human beings who have been made in God's likeness. That's going back to last week's warning about grumbling, accusing and judging others again. Out of the same mouth come praise and cursing, my brothers and sisters. This should not be. Can both fresh water and salt water flow from the same spring? Well, the answer is no, it can't. So how can a Christian have two springs springing forth? One of blessing and one of cursing. One of praising God and one of perhaps cursing, grumbling others. How can it be? Because there's two springs. There's two sources within a believer. The flesh and the spirit. Your flesh is all about me, me, me. It wants to boast and judge. Whereas your born-again spirit, joined with the Holy Spirit, is all about him, him, him. Our flesh wants to receive the glory, but your spirit wants to give God the glory. It's interesting to find out that the Greek word the New Testament uses for the word boast is actually translated as, and the Greek word is quomios, I think it is. It's glory. It means glory or rejoicing. So when we boast, we give ourselves or the thing we're boasting in the glory. We're glorying in it. When actually we know who all the glory belongs to, don't we? Let's see an example of this word being used interchangeable as boast and glory. Okay, in Romans 5. Turn to Romans 5. Verse 1. Romans 5, verse 1. Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, nothing that you've done, you can't buy it or earn it, it's through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand. You stand in grace, but the moment we boast, the moment we judge and condemn, we step out of that grace and into judgment territory and into the enemy's area. And it says, and we boast. This is the same Greek word. And we boast in the hope of the glory of God. Not only so, but we also glory in our sufferings. That word boast there and that word glory there are the same Greek word, which can mean boast or to glory in. Okay? So when we boast, we're glorifying whatever we're boasting in. And often it's ourselves or the thing rather than God. So boasting is giving glory to something. And as Christians, who are we supposed to give all the glory to? Revelations 4 says, you are worthy, O Lord and God, to receive glory and honor and power. For you created all things, and by your will they were created and have their being. So who should we be boasting about? Us, the thing, or God? Where it all came from in the first place. Okay. Now you might be thinking to yourself, well, I don't boast that much anyway. You probably don't. But I shall share with you my experiences in a moment that taught me that even a little boast here and there is jumping over the fence and slapping the ball. All right. How many of us make plans and enjoy telling people about our plans? That's a good... I like your spoon there, David. Nice work. Nice orange hair. How many of us make plans and enjoy telling other people about our plans? Plans next week, plans for holiday, plans for Christmas. All right. What we're going to be doing this next week, it's going to be great. Well, turn to James 4. Where are we at the moment? We're in Romans, aren't we? So turn to James 4. Oh, look at that. If you look at Mark and Wendy's screen, they've actually done a scene. It looks like a picture there of Mr. Spoonie or Mrs. Spoonie on a grass verge with, I don't know, it looks like the sun in the background there. Katie's waving Mrs. Spoonie. There we go. All right. Right, back onto God's word. James 4, verse 13. James, the brother of Jesus, is giving us this advice. Now listen, you who say, today or tomorrow we will go to this city or that city, spend a year there, carry on business and make money. Why? You do not even know what will happen tomorrow. What is your life? You are a mist that appears for a little while and then vanishes. Instead, you ought to say, if it is the Lord's will, we will live and do this and that. As it is, you boast in your arrogant schemes. All such boasting is evil. Oh dear. Having learnt what I've learnt through experience and the knowledge of this particular scripture, hand on my heart, about 4 or 5 months ago, maybe a bit longer, I winced when I recently heard another pastor inadvertently go against this scripture. Bless him, he was really sincere. At the end of an evening of worship, he was trying to encourage his own people, the church he pastors, to attend an evangelistic outreach the following morning. And in doing so, he said something along the lines of, at the end of the meeting, "And I, for one, will definitely be turning up tomorrow." Trying to encourage his people to be there as well, he made this statement, "I, for one, will definitely be here tomorrow." And I thought to myself, from what I've experienced and the knowledge of that scripture, I thought, oh boy, you don't realise what you've just said. Now, I wasn't being negative or wishing bad upon him, and I wasn't being fearful. But out of respect for what the Word of God says and my own experience, I had an inkling of what might be happening next. And bearing in mind, too, that the Word of God we read in James is the same for everyone, but those who teach will be judged more strictly. And often we're judged more strictly as teachers in order that we can learn so we can teach other people. Guess what happened? The next morning, the pastor sent me a text and apologised that even though he'd made that bold statement of declaration to everyone that he'd definitely be there, his dog had suffered a medical emergency and he had to take it to the vets, and so he wouldn't be able to make it after all. Now, that could just be a coincidence. But how many coincidences do you need before you get a picture that God is saying something to you? And I shall share my previous experiences in a minute. Now let's look at some more scriptures about boasting. We've already read in Jeremiah what God says about boasting, but let's go to Proverbs 27. Folks, if you make this adjustment in your lives, it will be a blessing in your lives. You will notice a difference of more of God and less of the enemy. Proverbs 27, verse 1. It says, "Do not boast about tomorrow, for you don't know what a day may bring." Now, that's probably where James is getting his teaching from when he just spoke about that. Turn to Psalm 12. Psalm 12, verse 3. "May the Lord silence all flattering lips and every boastful tongue." All right. Now jump back into the New Testament and go to 1 Corinthians 13, verse 4. Are you there? 1 Corinthians 13, verse 4. Yeah. "Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud." We are supposed to walk in love. And love does not boast. It is not proud. The Bible says that faith works by love in Galatians 5, 6. So if love is not boastful and love is not proud, then boasting nullifies our faith. Our faith will not work through boasting or pride. But faith works by love. Right. Now I just want to share you my experiences which led me up to this point of realizing how powerful, in a negative way, boasting and judging can be, and what a difference actually hearing Jesus saying, do not do this, and putting into practice can be. Now, bearing in mind, as a teacher, I get judged more strictly for my own good, but also for the good of those whom I'm supposed to teach. So when I slip up, because of harsher judgment, the reactions I might receive might be swifter and more pronounced on occasions in order for me to have an insight into how the Word of God works. So I'm not saying at the same time, I'm not saying that the same thing will happen to others in the same way. But the principles and spiritual laws in operation behind them are the same, and the same effects are happening. But maybe not as obvious and pronounced for those that are not teachers, but they still affect us. Even if we can't see them happening, we should still treat every word of God as true, with very true benefits or consequences for obeying and disobeying. Now, my experiences might seem just like coincidences, but added to what I sensed God saying at the time, through other means such as through my journaling and daily scripture reading and the prompting of the Holy Spirit and what He might be saying through others around me, the experiences, in my opinion, are directly connected to my disobedience. Last week, I taught on not judging, and this week, I'm following up with not boasting. The following four separate incidents happened about 3 years ago in a season of about 3 months, where God was teaching me about both subjects, judging and boasting. And at the same time, He was teaching me that as well as our words being of great effect in our lives, our thought life is in play too. Now that seems very unfair, doesn't it? That your thought life can be in play and have consequences, negative and positive too. But it was Jesus who said that if we look lustfully at another person, we have already committed adultery in our hearts. That's Matthew 5. As unfair as it might seem, we can definitely sin in our thought life too. Having a tempting thought, though, is not a sin. But entertaining it and letting it stay can be. The bait is not the sin, but taking a bite of the bait and chewing it and swallowing it is. As you mature as a Christian, it won't mean that you have tempting thoughts less and less. The same tempting thoughts still visit. It's just that you become wiser and quicker to bring them into captivity and make them obedient to Christ, as it says in 2 Corinthians 10:5. So, the first instance where God was teaching me. The first instance that I became aware that God was teaching me about judging was driving to IKEA. You know, pretty much everyone's driven to IKEA at some point, I reckon. I was waiting at the mini roundabout that leads to the big roundabout under the flyover in Croydon, near the fire station. The thought popped into my head, here we go, bad drivers in Croydon. And then I caught myself thinking, yep, they're all rubbish drivers in Croydon. I should know. I've been driving around Croydon Borough since I was 17, and then later in the police. Just watch, as soon as you leave Bromley, the driving standards drop dramatically. Flipping Croydon drivers, or something like that. I hadn't voiced any of this. This was just an internal conversation whilst waiting to pull out of the roundabout. The next thing I'm doing is pulling out into the roundabout, but not really judging the gap properly and almost getting rammed in the side. Fortunately, I got away with an angry, elongated beep from the driver to the right of me, who I failed to give way to. I was relieved that nothing worse had happened, but I was instantly and acutely aware that I'd just been the very thing that I had been so critical about seconds before. This lesson was enough for me to completely be aware of what God was showing me, but it had been logged in my memory bank, ready for His next lesson. So, second incidents. The second occasion, I think, was fairly soon after that first one. I was leading a house group, and I can't remember in what context, but for some reason, I boldly declared to the men and the women of the group that, in my opinion, women can't reverse. They can't reverse a car, and now I consider that to be a fact. Now, I apologise for that. Katie, you look a bit shocked there, but that's what I said. Oh boy, why did I have to go and say that? The very next morning, I ended up doing an estimated £2,000 damage to my car. How? Yep, you've guessed it, by reversing my car. The same driveway I'd reversed into for about 11 years without incident, but with my bold judgmental statement still echoing from the night before, I had creased both front and rear passenger doors on a post at the entrance to our driveway. I could have cried. I think maybe my eyes did well up. And again, I was instantly aware that I had suffered the very words I had thought and this time spoken out. Now, I don't know how these two consequences came about, whether they are allowed or caused by God or by the enemy or by my own stupidity. Definitely my own stupidity was involved. And I expect many will just point to coincidence and nothing more. But God had got my attention. And since then, I have seen yet more evidence of my own lessons and in the lives of others. Now, the first two lessons were not to provoke fear in me, but respect for God's word, that God cannot be mocked. His word does not return to him void. He doesn't say things and have them recorded in the Bible for entertainment or posterity. They are alive and active. It was Billy Graham who said, "I have learned that when I take the Bible literally, that's when the anointing of God touches my life." I would also like to add, before I tell the next two incidents that shortly followed, that on the whole, as a family, we are blessed and so grateful to experience mostly good things. So when something negative happens, it often seems out of place, thankfully, and grabs my attention. So the third and the fourth incidents. God had taught me about judgment, but he hadn't taught me about boasting yet. Judging others. A short while after this event, we went on holiday to France. Having found a newfound respect for not being judgmental, I thought I was doing well. Little did I realise that I was still in a season of schooling in the thought and action, but this time on the subject of boasting. We'd set up camp in our usual spot and we spoke to the returning campers who we stayed with next year. They'd returned in the same spot too. And Marie admired our neighbour's gazebo. And the conversation got on to gazebos and I waxed lyrical to my neighbours about how we got ours so cheap from Argos and that how well it had lasted for such a bargain buy. It was still doing so well after all these years. Marie's now laughing. All the glory to the gazebo. And a bit to me as well. And a little bit to Argos. Shortly after that, we left the campsite to go shopping. Do you know what happened next? We have returned and the gazebo was strewn all over the place. All four legs had snapped in half and were unrepairable. Now, we don't know what happened, but we guess there'd been some kind of freak gust of wind and just annihilated it. We don't think it was our jealous neighbours who attacked it after I'd praised it so much. Now, Marie finds it funny now, and actually I found this incident quite funny at the time, especially as I recalled how I'd waxed lyrical about it only a couple of hours before. I was also fairly quick to have a conversation with God and asked him something along the lines of, "What was that all about? I am pretty sure I hadn't judged anyone." The full answer, it turned out, wouldn't come until the nearer the end of our holiday. And at the time, I wasn't aware that boasting was actually a thing in the Bible. Fast forward a couple of weeks to a few days before the end of our holiday. Emily and I were on a lovely bike ride along the Canal du Midi. Everything about the ride and my company was beautiful. I was in heaven. And my mind turned to my bike. I loved my bike. I was proud of the fact that I had added an electric kit to my lovely bike to help me go up mountains and things. And I'd named my bike the Stallion. Okay, that might say something about me, but I named my lovely big tall blue bike with an electric kit the Stallion. Now, the electric kit has served me well for a good few years, and I really appreciate its ability and assistance and the greater freedom it gave me. And it was so good that I had bought another kit for Emily's bike and put it on Emily's bike, and we called her bike the Donkey. So we're on the Stallion and the Donkey. Anyway, my appreciation on the bike ride to my bike turned to thoughts of admiration for myself for making such a good decision to buy such a reliable and helpful electric kit. This internal conversation I was having with myself then turned into a daydream about a conversation I was hoping to have with my dad when I got home. Anyone else want to make their dad proud? You have conversations with yourself thinking, yeah, if my dad could see me now, he'd be so proud. Well, I had visions of me going home and telling my dad what a great decision I made to install this bike kit and what good value it had been and how trustworthy it had been. And I felt really chuffed with myself, and I hoped that my dad would be chuffed with me too. And that was that. I never got to have that particular conversation with my dad, because guess what? The very next day, my kit refused to work. I tinkered with it and couldn't get it to work. Its electronic brains had fried. Sadly, I found out they had fried the hard way, because in order to diagnose the problem, I took apart Emily's bike and plugged in her kit to my bike, and my bike fried her kit too. So, on this occasion, I did cry. I went up the mountain or the hill behind our camp and I cried. I was annoyed with myself and with God too. How could this be happening? After I vented and was ready to listen, he reminded me of my internal conversation I'd had the day before, how I'd been prideful and boasting about how good I was and how good the thing was, and then caused me to join the dots to the same thing with the gazebo a couple of weeks before. Apparently, boasting had similar consequences to judging. I later had a look at what the Bible had to say about boasting and found it to be true. A valuable lesson learned and one to share with others once I walked it out for myself and witnessed to the wonderful blessing of avoiding disobeying the word of God by judging and boasting less and less in deed and thought. That's why now I'm in a position where I can give the opportunity to boast in something. That's why now when I'm given the opportunity to boast in something, let's just say you come up to me and say, I really like your bike, or I really like your car. What I would used to say was something along the lines, yeah, thanks, it's really good. Yeah, I really like it. It's really reliable. Yeah, I got it for, you know, quite a good deal or whatever it was, and you share it out. Where actually now, if you ask me, oh, I like your bike, I would say, yeah, I'm really grateful for it. Or thank you. It's done really well. I'm really grateful for it. I might then tell you about it. But once you're having this internal conversation with the Holy Spirit where you recognize that it's from him in the first place, every good and perfect gift is from him, then you start to work out that actually my words matter as well. So I'm going to give. You don't have to say, yep, praise God. You don't have to say when you're making plans for next week or your holiday, you don't have to keep saying, if God wills. You can do if you want to, but people might think you're a bit weird. So you can just say, I hope to, or thankfully I am, or yes, I am really grateful for this. It's just simple to change, but believe me, it saves a lot of pain, gives God the glory internally and externally. Okay. And when it comes to being judged harsher for being a teacher, the good news is I found out too that on both repair for my car and replacing the bikes, when God teaches me a lesson, especially if it's costly on the wallet, he gives you the money to make good too. You can't stop having judgmental and boastful thoughts entering your mind, but you can, with the help of the Holy Spirit, begin not to entertain them or enjoy them, but bring them into captivity and to the obedience of Christ and acknowledge where every good and perfect thing came from, and then give a voice to that. And if you do take the bait and begin to chew, be quick to realize and repent, receive the mercy and forgiveness from God in Jesus, and get this, what, the slate wiped clean. Now, absolutely finally, we're just going to read this last verse, and that is it for the message today. Galatians 6:14. Is there anything we should or can boast in? Don't give yourself the glory. Don't give the thing the glory. Give thanks to God. Be grateful. Realize it's not you. Even if you went and bought it and worked hard and saved up your pennies, God, the Bible says, who is it that gave you the strength to work hard and save your pennies up? God himself. So Galatians 6:14. And this is here endeth the lesson. It says, may I never boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, through which the world has been crucified to me and I to the world. Folks, may you never boast except that in Jesus Christ your Lord. So, hopefully we've heard God speak to me, to us today, and hopefully we can start putting it into practice. Obedience creates the presence of God and allows him to be an enemy to your enemies. God bless you all.